say, in which the Christian has the responsibility or the duty to be obedient to God. And of course, this is going to be in our everyday lives. Now, it's one thing for us to come together and be all Christian-like when we're together like this, but it's something completely different when we leave and go back home. Read recently an article about some individuals in churches where, you know, they, here they were on Sunday morning, they were Bible school teachers, deacons, elders, preachers, faithful members of the church, that they're teaching classes and showing forth, you know, I'm a good Christian on Sunday morning, and then it mentioned some of the things that some of these people had done the past week and things that they were going to do the next week. Now, we know that we all sin, and that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about people who just live their lives in a way that's inconsistent with the gospel. That's just contrary to what God's will is. And it talked about a particular person who was a Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning, but then they would go throughout the week lying and cheating and stealing every day of the week. They go on. And a lot of times people will say, well, I keep my religion separate from my everyday life. I want to tell you something, that the Bible doesn't say this, but it clearly teaches it. If you keep your religion separate from your everyday life, one thing is going to happen. Your everyday life is going to affect your religion. It's going to happen. You can't just categorize or compartmentalize your life and say, this is my Christian life, this is my work, this is my recreation, and this is just my everyday life, my family life, and put these in separate categories. It doesn't work that way. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian at church, during worship, you're a Christian at work, you're a Christian at recreation, you're a Christian for the young people at school, you're a Christian in your family. See, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't just be a Christian one day out of the week. You've got two choices. Either being a Christian is going to affect every other area of your life, or the way you live the rest of your life is going to affect you being a Christian. And when we see people fall away from the church, many times, if we had looked at what went on in their everyday life, we would have seen that they were gone a long time before they quit actually coming to church. We've got to get it through our thick heads that when Jesus says, be ye converted, he means every hour of every day of the week. We can't have a heart that's filled with evil desires for the things of the world and then expect that when we come to church on Sunday morning, our worship is going to be pure in God's sight. Because God, what did God tell Samuel in 1 Samuel 16? God does not look like man looks. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God's going to see that impure, filthy, idolatrous heart that we have, wishing we could be doing something else, or were doing something else, or having some evil desire, and he's going to know that our worship's going to be in vain to him. So this is essential for us to understand that Christian living from day to day, we can't, it's not like a sukkah. You know, when we dress up for church, we come and we've got our suit and our tie, and the ladies have their dresses and everything, and we go home, a lot of times, you know, we take that off. And a lot of times, a lot of people, when they take their Sunday clothes off, they take their Christianity off with it and leave it in the closet the rest of the week. It can't work that way. Not if you're going to be pleasing to God. In every area of our life, from the way we play a game, from, you know, the way if we go fishing or hunting, Yeah, what kind of message would it send if a Christian goes fishing on somebody else's property without permission, or goes hunting on somebody else's property without permission, or doesn't have a license, and they're going out there just, they're breaking the law, and what does that tell other people? More importantly, what does that tell God? It tells God that you're not really concerned with doing what's right, you just are concerned with doing what pleases you. At work, are we going to behave in a Christian manner? It's always been the most difficult thing to me to see science teachers who are Christians, and yet they go into science class and teach evolution. How can you do that? I had an argument with my fourth grade teacher because he wasn't a member of the church, but he claimed to be a Christian, claimed to believe in God. But then he's teaching us evolution, and I brought him my Bible. You know, when you're a kid, you're just bold. I brought him my Bible. I said, "You're right here. It says God made the world." But he, and he said, "Well, I believe that." Well, why are you teaching something different than that? How can you go home with a clear conscience when you know one thing to be the truth and you've sat there and told 25 or 30 kids exactly the opposite of that? How could a used car salesman or any kind of salesman go out and sell a product that they know is an inferior product? They know that car has transmission problems and they've just put some sawdust in there to cover it up until, you know, 30-day warranty, or maybe they just have it as is, no warranty, you know, but just to cover it up so they can get it sold so it rusts or whatever. And how could a Christian do something like that? Well, they couldn't, not with a clear conscience and not to be pleasing to God. You know, elections are coming up, and we certainly, not going to tell you who to vote for, but when you go into those polls, you need to be taking your Christianity with you. You need to think about, and the things I'm voting for, the people I'm voting for, do they represent my Christian values? Because we're being hypocrites if we claim to be one thing and then live in another way. There's an article in the bulletin about hypocrites in the church. There are two ways that can go. That article in the bulletin expresses those two things. Either you can be a Christian, but then under certain circumstances, try to hide it to avoid persecution, or you can just live your life like you're not a Christian and put on the front of being one on Sunday. Either one of those is wrong. There's really not much difference in those two. But you've got to think about that every area of life. My dad and I were talking this weekend while he was here about some places they have church league softball games. And he was talking about how where they are, they don't have a softball team anymore. And he said at one time when they had one, he was disturbed by not just the competitiveness. You want to be competitive when you're playing a game with somebody else. But people were rude, angry. I've heard people at a church league softball game just cursing up the storm. Now, what kind of Christian activity is that? That's not right. That's not portraying Christ in our lives. And yet, they would do those things. And we see that no matter what area, recreation, school, work, at home, what about, people who, boy, they look like the perfect family when they're sitting in church on Sunday. But then, when they get home, it's a completely different story. They're doing all kinds of things that would be unheard of, even among some who are not Christians. We need to think about in our home life, what are we teaching our children? The story, I know I've told it before, but maybe some of you hadn't heard it, so I'll tell it again. About the family that was trying to impress the preacher. He had come over, and so they're sitting there, and they had a Bible question that came up, and they told their little child, "Son, go in there to Mom and Daddy's bedroom and get that big book that Mom and Daddy looked through so much and read so much." And the little boy came back with the Sears catalog, because they don't have those anymore, but he came back with the Sears catalog. He knew. He knew what Mom and Daddy looked at all the time and what they read through. He knew what it was. So we put on these fronts sometimes, and despite the fact that we may deceive everybody in the church, many times our children are the ones that we don't deceive. And they know exactly what we believe and exactly what we stand for. We need to think about this in many areas of our life. And with teaching our children and our young people, What kind of music do we listen to? What kind of music do we let him listen to? What kind of television shows and movies do we go to? You know what? I've just recently, Don and I have been studying a book that mentioned this topic, and it made me think about that, you know, we have in our society things that are allowed to go on network television that comes right into our living room. Things that if they were going on outside our house, we'd close the windows and pull the drapes and the blinds and tell the children, don't look out there at that. Don't listen to what's going on out there. But we let it come right into our living room on TV. And don't say a thing about it. Don't change the channel. Just let it be there. Can you imagine if there was somebody, a couple, engaging in sexual activity in your front yard? Would you let your children just stand at the window and watch them do that? But we do it with TV and movies all the time. Would you invite somebody into your house that was cussing every other word, using God's name in vain all the time? We tell them, look, you need to either straighten up the way you're talking or you need to get out of my house. We don't approve of that. We don't allow that. And yet we let that TV sit there and don't say a word about it. Hollywood has, and the TV industry has just slowly, I mean, the things that are allowed on TV this season, 10 years ago, people would have been appalled at the thought of it. 50 years ago, boy, can you imagine if I Love Lucy or Leave It to Beaver tried to show some of the things that are on our common sitcoms today? The jokes, the crude language, the vulgarity. It's unbelievable. And yet we just pretend, you know, that's not reality. Well, it may not be reality, but hey, if there's a picture of a naked woman on that television screen, whether it's a video, movie, or whatever, you know, that's just as real to a child as anything else, and it is to us adults, too. We need not think that we can't be affected and that our thinking can't be affected. I remember hearing someone talking about a conversation that was going on, and these two young people were sitting there having this conversation about, well, you know, Susie divorced Joe last week, and isn't that great because now Susie and Robbie can get married, and boy, isn't that wonderful because they really love each other. And the person, how horrible that they're glad about this situation where somebody's getting divorced and they're leaving their husband to go marry somebody else. And then through the conversation, he realized, oh, they're talking about a soap opera. And he thought, oh, well, that's better then that they're talking about a TV show. That's not reality. But then he thought, you know what? Whether it's reality or whether it's a TV show, look what view of marriage and divorce those children have. That it's a good thing that this woman is leaving her husband to go marry somebody else. That's what these two young ladies that were discussing this, that was their view of marriage. She didn't really love him, and she loves this other guy, so it's good for her to leave her husband and go marry this guy. And we don't think about many times what's really being taught and what's really coming through and the kinds of values that are contrary to the Bible that come through. Let me tell you something. The people in Hollywood that make these shows, they're not Christians. In fact, less than 10% of them even claim any affiliation with any religious group. Over 90% of the people that make these television shows and movies and the music and all of these things, over 90% of them claim no Christianity whatsoever. And it's clear in the things that they put out. It's clear that they're not Christian. But here we are sitting claiming to be Christian and allowing ourselves and our children and anyone who comes into our home to be influenced by that. We've got to be very cautious about what we let, especially our children, but ourselves as well, come in contact with. And that brings us to these things very quickly. We just want to hit you. We sing a little song. We sing with Xander. I don't know, maybe you may not have ever heard it, but it basically it says, oh, be careful, little eyes, where you look or what you see. And then it talks about, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. And it just goes down through the different body parts and telling the little body parts to be careful how they're behaving themselves. And so we want to look at those real quick. Be careful what you hear. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, and we're going to go through these quick, because you may not have time to flip to all of them, all of these verses. You might want to just jot them down to look at later. But Mark chapter 4 and verse 24 says just exactly that. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. What are you listening to? Be careful. Because what goes in your ears gets into your brain. And if you're not careful, you'll start thinking, Don and I, may have the radio on or something in the car and not be paying attention. And before long, we're singing along with some song. And what's that song? Wait a minute. What is that song saying? And here we're just singing along because you're hearing it, not listening to it, and not thinking about it. We have to say, we're not going to listen to those music stations on the radio anymore because the music on there, it gets in the ears, it goes to the brain, and you start thinking those things. And you start even, you sing, music is very catchy. That's why we sing. That music, that having that tune, I dare say, if I asked you to quote Bible verses, I'm sure you could quote some, but if I put how many Bible verses you could quote on one paper or more than one paper, depending on how many you took, and then said, okay, now tell me the words to some of the songs that we sing at church. Well, you could probably have several pages. You know those songs without even opening the songbook up and looking at the words because of music. When you hear that, it gets into your mind and you remember it. Luke 8 and verse 18 tells us something different. Very similar but different. Mark 4:24 said, take heed what you hear. Luke 8 and verse 18 says, take heed how you hear. There are some times where we cannot control what we hear. We may be in a public place and somebody just flat out says something that they shouldn't say and we're within hearing range of. We couldn't stop what we heard under those circumstances, but we can take heed how we hear it. When we hear that, we can say to ourselves, that was a very unchristian thing to say. I don't approve of that. I'm going to shun that, even though I heard it. I'm going to shun that kind of thinking and that kind of talking. I'm not going to hear those things. And then we want to think about being careful what we see. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. We've discussed this passage before, and there are several others that talk to us about the things that we see and what we look at. But this one in particular just says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. When we look at things, and we desire those things, and we, the lustfulness of our eyes, looking and seeing things, and lusting after them, wanting those things, we've got to be careful where we look. We've got to be careful what we see, and what we look at. And then we need to be careful what we speak or what we say. There's a little song we say, be careful, little mouth, what you say. We have to be careful what we say. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 teaches us this very clearly. Colossians 4 and verse 6, Paul tells the Colossians there, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And of course the Bible in several places tells us to avoid impure speech, tells us to avoid coarse jesting and those types of things. All through the New Testament we're taught that what we say is very important. And more than that as well, how we say it. Speak the truth in love. We don't speak the truth in hatred. There are some people that do, and there are some even religious groups that speak the truth, but they speak it in hatred, and people are shunned by that. Even when we're speaking the truth, we need to be doing it in love, with care for that individual, or those individuals that we're speaking to, with concern for their souls. Then, of course, the song says, be careful, little hands, what you do. Well, the Bible teaches us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. Now, obviously, the Bible there is when it says that, it's authorizing only those good things that your hand finds to do. Some people have tried to use that verse and say, well, you know, whatever I do, it's okay as long as I'm just doing it. No, no. The Bible, you know, the Bible doesn't mean that just anything you do is okay as long as you're doing it 100%. But when your hand finds something good to do, do it. But be careful what you do. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 deals with this principle. Jesus says, I think I wrote down the wrong verse there. Jesus says here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now this is the first and great commandment. I think I've got the wrong one written down there. but certainly, whatever we are doing, we need to do it to the glory of God. And all the way. If we're going to do something, it needs to be because we're loving God and because we're serving Him in these ways. But we need to do it all the way. Then we need to be careful where we go. The song says, be careful little feet where you go. Of course, wherever your feet go, your body usually goes with them. And when your body goes, your eyes and your ears, they go too. So wherever you go, you're going to see and hear things. So we need to be cautious of that. Psalm 1. And verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. See, the Bible here tells us, where you go is important. Who you're with when you go there. And what you do while you're there. All those things are important. So don't walk in this particular way. Don't go to certain places. Don't be with certain groups of people. Don't sit in certain places. Notice, he said, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. There's just certain places you shouldn't sit. Certain places you shouldn't be as a Christian, as a believer in God. There are just things, places we don't go, things we don't do. Then what about our thoughts? We've added several verses to that little song because there are so many things that go along with being careful. And we added, be careful, little brain, what you think. Because the Bible teaches what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us what things we should think about. And I tell you, personally, I am working on changing several of the activities that I engage myself in and trying to avoid certain things because of the fact that those things don't fit with this. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the things we're supposed to be thinking about. I mentioned that conversation those two young ladies were having earlier, and they're talking about an adulterous relationship and about it like it's going to be a good thing. They're not thinking on pure, virtuous things when they're thinking about it. They're really talking about that. You hear Christians all the time having conversations about things where, what kind of thoughts have to be going on in your head to be having that? You're not thinking on pure things. And I find that so easy for us to think about the things that the world puts out there for us to think about. We think about those things because we see them and we hear them all around us. But we've got to shun those things and keep the things in our hearts and our minds that are pure things, good things, holy things. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to be walking around like some holier than thou and putting people, I would never think of such a thing. No, we're not going to behave in that way. But that's what we're going to have, these thoughts of purity in our mind. We're not going to be thinking about all of the evil things that go on. I think that brings about a lot of the mental problems that a lot of people have. They become obsessed with thinking about all the bad things that are going on in the world, and the news doesn't help. You know, a couple of weeks ago when the had the situation with the sniper over in Washington, D.C. area, and it was on the news 24 hours a day on, you know, people, and just hear that over and over and over and over, and you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about all those things. Now, that doesn't mean that we can never deal with something like that. We have to deal with those things because we do live in this world. But that's not what our thoughts should be focused on. People have all sorts of problems that develop because they're just obsessed with these thoughts all the time of all the bad things. If you watch the news, sit down and count sometime how many of those stories on the news involve something good happening as compared to how many of them involve something bad happening. I mean, almost everything on the news, aside from the weather, and even that a lot of times, there was a hurricane and tornado killed 6 people, and I mean, even something that, you know, should be as benign as the weather takes on this tumultuous, bad things, ominous, oh, bad things are happening. But you look at the, you know, car wrecks and murders and, you know, child abuse. I mean, it's all sorts of things. And that's what they call news. Well, why isn't it news when somebody was drowning, somebody went out and said, oh, isn't that good? Did that make the news? Well, maybe every once in a while something like that makes the news, but not very often. What's important? What are we really thinking on? Thinking about? That doesn't mean that we ignore the bad things in the world and think, well, we just ignore them, they'll go away. That won't work either. We do have to deal with those things, but we don't dwell on them. We don't think about that all the time. What about how we feel? Mark chapter 6 and verse 52. We put the little verse in the song, oh, be careful, little heart, how you feel. Mark chapter 6 and verse 52 tells us about that heart. I've gotten another verse wrong here. I think maybe I switched something. Yeah, but no, this is right. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, sometimes we watch all of these things. Like I said, we watch the news and we see all the people. We watch the movies where people are getting blown up and shot and killed and everything. And our heart just gets hardened to these things. We don't have a tender heart anymore. And then when we hear a true situation that somebody, where somebody we know is involved, suddenly, you know, we don't have any concern. We don't have any emotion for that situation because our heart's been hardened by it. Sometimes our heart can get hardened to any number of things of the gospel. Sometimes it can get hardened to the truth of the Word of God. All these things. Our heart gets hardened because maybe we heard it, but then we heard other people or read other things that put that down. Don't worry about this or that and the other thing. And our heart gets hardened to that. And our conscience gets seared with a hot iron, so to speak, as the Bible mentions. And we don't realize what's really going on in our lives and that we've really lost all our feeling. And then Matthew 6 and verse 21 also tells us, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes we're hardened to the spiritual things because our heart is in love with the physical world. Our heart, you know, you remember that feeling the first time you fell in love and you were all fluttery? Ooh. And, you know, sometimes we get that feeling when we think about some possession we have, when we think about a new car, when we think about a big screen TV, or we think about some meal that we're going to eat, or, you know, we think about a new dress or a new suit, you know, or something. You know, we think about some physical thing, and we just, oh, fine. And we get excited, and we get all the sweaty palms, and just like you did when you were first in love. But then when somebody talks about Jesus, or they talk about the crucifixion, or talk about the time when we were baptized and became a Christian, yeah, well, you know, I've been a Christian now for a while, you know, big deal. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross for us, yeah, big deal. If we're going to get emotional about something, if we're going to have those feelings where our heart goes pitter-patter, why should it not be toward God who loved us and toward Jesus who is willing to sacrifice himself for us? And even toward our fellow Christians who, you know, are working hard to try to help us to get to heaven as well. We need to be sure that our feelings are directed in the right things, that we're having the right feelings about the right things, that our heart isn't hardened as those in Mark chapter 6 were. And then, of course, we say, be careful, little soul, who you serve. And we talked about that a while ago, that, yeah, we may be sitting here on Sunday morning, but what are we serving? Are we serving ourselves? I've known some people who went to the church that they went to because there were important business people at that church, and they could get a leg up in their business by attending that church. What are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you serving God, or are you serving yourself and your business and your pocketbook when you do that? Other people go to a particular church because some popular person or some famous person attends that denomination, or even maybe that particular church, that particular, and they go there because they want to be popular and they want to be in the in crowd. And what are you serving? Who are you serving? Maybe another person goes to a particular church because in that church they can be elevated above everybody else. They can be in charge. They can be in control. What are you serving? Who are you serving? Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. Satan just says, Jesus, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Now, did Jesus want all of that? Yeah, you bet he did. Because what is it that Jesus is offering him, or that Satan is offering to Jesus, rather? Satan is offering him all of the people, the kingdoms of the world. Well, that's what Jesus came for, was to seek and save the lost, to get the people of the world to turn back to him. That's what he came for. So you know, Satan says, I'll give it all to you if you'll do this. Just bow down and worship. But Jesus answers him with something very interesting. He says, you shall worship the Lord your God. Or in other words, you shall fall down before the Lord your God. And him only shall you serve. He says there's a particular type of service or worship that belongs only to God. Now, when he says him only shall you serve, he doesn't mean that we can't serve our fellow man. In the Greek, that's a completely different word than this one. And they're talking about just, you know, being nice to little old lady and helping them across the street, that kind of thing. Just general service. This is a very specific kind of service. He says this kind of service is to be rendered only to God. When it comes to worshiping, you worship only God. You serve only Him. And yet, many times people are serving something else. If you're here this morning, perhaps you aren't living your Christian life once you go outside the doors. Maybe you leave the doors and you just become another Joe Blow on the street. And you just forget about what we studied, and that the Bible even exists. Maybe you just ignore that. Or maybe, you know, you don't ignore it, but there are just certain areas of your life where you just really haven't put the Bible teaching into practice. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't become a Christian. You're still living out there in the world. You're still serving yourself. And by serving yourself, you're serving Satan. Satan doesn't care who you serve as long as it's not God. Whoever else you serve, you're serving him. Maybe you need to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, and be baptized to wash those sins away, to become a new creature in Christ, and then to serve God, and serve him faithfully. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we speak.